The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Epictetus's Enchiridion, the Handbook, Chapter 30. The actions that are appropriate for us can generally be determined by our relationships. He is your father. This tells you to take care of him, to yield to him in all things, to put up with him when he abuses you or beats you. But he is a bad father. Nature did not provide for you a good father, but a father. Your brother wrongs you? Well, then maintain your relationship to him. Do not think about what he is doing, but about what you will have to do if you want to keep your moral character in accordance with nature. For no one can harm you unless you wish it. You will be harmed only when you think you are harmed. If you get into the habit of looking at the relationships implied by neighbor, citizen, commander, you will discover what is proper to expect from each. Okay, now before we analyze this, I just want to have a disclaimer here. Okay, we're going to be talking about the mitzvos of kibud av ve'im, honoring your father and mother, and mora av ve'im, revering your father and mother. And although there are practical halachos here, there are practical laws, this is not a practical halachic podcast. Okay, so if you have any doubts as to what you should or shouldn't do, and especially if you are confronted with a case of an abusive parent, so then please ask your posek, your local Orthodox rabbi, for guidance. This is not intended to be practical guidance for particular situations. We're just going to be talking about the halacha in abstract. Okay, having said that, I want to focus on how Epictetus is advising us to relate to an abusive parent. Okay, and I'll say parent even though it says father here. So Epictetus is saying that basically you don't have a choice who your parent is, and you don't have a choice that you have a parent. Either you do or you don't. And whoever that parent is, that is who the parent is. What you do have a choice about, though, is how you respond to them, and how you respond and how you react will really ultimately be the determinant of whether the actions that befall you from them are harmful or not harmful. Okay, obviously a parent can harm your possessions or even your body or even your emotions, but whether those harms are truly harms, whether they actually affect your decision making, your character, is entirely up to you. So that's a basic Stoic idea, but the new thing that he's introducing here is the idea of fulfilling the role. Okay, in other words, usually Stoicism, I mean the way that we've talked about Stoicism on this podcast usually just talks about what happens to you irrespective of the role that you're playing. Here, though, he's bringing in roles and saying that if this man abuses you and you are his son or daughter, then you have a different responsibility than if you're just a stranger, right? And that's a new distinction. We usually would just talk about, like, if something happens to you that's outside of your control, that's really all we care about. Epictetus is predicating this idea on the fact that that you have additional responsibilities because you are because you're the offspring of this parent. Okay, so obviously this parallels Judaism's stance with regard to our parents. We have two mitzvos, and I'm going to switch to the Hebrew terms from now on: kibud av ve'im, honoring your parents, and mora av ve'im, and revering your parents. And in the halachos themselves, then we talk about what extent you have to go to when they abuse you. Okay, so I'm quoting from the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, Sefer Shoftim, Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Vav. So this is the Mishnah Torah, Book of Judges, the Laws of Rebels, Chapter 6. And this is Halachos 6 and 7, I believe. Actually, I'm not sure in the edition here, but whatever. So he says, Ad heichan kibud av ve'im. How far do you have to go for kibud av ve'im, for honoring your parents? Afilu natlu kis shel zehuvim shelo. Even if they took your wallet of gold coins, v'hi shlichuhu lefanav leyam, and they threw it into the sea in front of you. Lo yachli mosan, you should not shame them. Lo yitzak b'vdim, and you should not cry out in front of them. Lo yichos kenegdam, and you should not get angry at them. Ella, rather, yikabel gezeres hakasuv v'yishtok. A person should accept the decree of scripture and be silent. Then in the very next paragraph, v'ad heichan mora'an, to what extent does revering your parents extend? How far does that extend? Afilu hayalovish begadim chamudos. Even if a person were wearing precious or fine clothing, v'yoshiv barosh bifnei hakahal, and he was sitting at the head in front of the congregation, uva aviv o imo, and his father and mother came, v'karu begadav, and tore his garments, o hikuhu al rosho, or hit him on the head, v'yarku lefanav, or spit in front of him, lo yachli musan, he should not shame them, ela yishtok, rather he should be silent, v'yira v'yifchad mimelech hamalachim shetzivahu bakach, and he should be in fear and trembling before the king of kings who commanded him this, meaning God. Sh'ilu melech basar v'dam gazar alav davar shuhumit star yosem yizeh. Because if a human king decreed upon him something that afflicted him even more than this, lo haya yachol lefarkas badavar, then he would not be able to even move in protest, okay? Literally to like twitch, I think. Okay, he wouldn't be able to like twitch in protest. Kal v'chomer lemish amar v'haya ha'olam birtzono. All the more so for someone who spoke and for the being who spoke and the world came into being, okay? So the common denominator here is that you're really, and this is kind of the premise of Kibbutz Av Aim here, is that really you're not honoring your parents because of who they are. You're honoring your parents as a means of honoring God. And God commanded that you relate to your parents in a certain way. And it's not that you are honoring them based on them deserving it. You're honoring them because this is what God commanded. And your reactions should not be determined by how you relate to this particular person. Or how they relate to you, your reaction should be determined by how you relate to God and His commandment. Okay, and this is how actually the Rambam introduces. I should have really read this beforehand. He introduces the entire mitzvah by saying Kibud Avim mitzvah sase gedola v'chein mor Avim, that honoring your parents and revering your parents is a huge positive commandment. Shkalim hakasuv b'chvoda uv'mora'o, and the Torah equates them with honoring God and revering God. Kasuv, it is written, Kabed es avicha v'esimecha. It is written, honor your father and your mother. V'kasuv, Kabed es Hashem mehonacha. And it is written, honor Hashem from your wealth. Meaning it uses the same term, Kabed es, honor. Uv'aviv imo, kasuv, ish imo v'aviv tirao. And regarding your father and mother, it is written, each man should revere his father and mother. V'kasuv es Hashem elokecha tira. And it is written that you should revere Hashem your God. K'derech tziva al kvod shemo hagado umaro'o, kach tziva al kvodam umara'an. Just as the Torah commanded regarding the honor of his and reverence of his great name, so too it commanded regarding their honor and their reverence. Okay, so in other words, this is a well-known thing that the Torah equates honoring and revering your parents with honoring and revering God. But the question is like, what is the relationship between the two? Okay, and there are many explanations. So, for example, my go-to explanation is from the Sefer HaChinuch, who basically says that you're obligated to honor your parents because they brought you into existence, and that the fact that they brought you into existence has absolutely nothing to do with how they treat you. In other words, whether they treat you well or whether they treat you poorly, they did bring you into existence. And it doesn't even matter why they brought you into existence, you owe your existence to them. And therefore you should recognize that they are the cause of your existence. And then the Sefer Chinuch goes on and explains that will eventually cause you to recognize God as the cause of all existence. Okay. But this morning I found a different idea. And this is really what inspired this episode here. This is an idea that is written by Moshe Halbertal in his book, Maimonides' Life and Thought, which I'm about halfway through right now. And this is in the chapter about the Rambam's incorporation of philosophy and science into the Mishnah Torah, okay? And there's really one sentence that stood out to me. I'm going to read the entire passage, and I'll emphasize which sentence it is, and then I'll talk about it. Okay, so he's talking here about the Rambam's view of love of God and reverence of God, of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and how the Rambam holds that both of them are proportional. The degree to which you love and revere God will be based on your knowledge of science, really, your knowledge of the universe and how God governs the universe, okay? So Moshe Halbertal says, the transition from an attitude of fear to one of love depends on knowledge, as Maimonides emphasizes at the end of that chapter. By the way, this is an excerpt from pages 201 and 202. So the Rambam says, according to the knowledge will be the love. If the former be little or much, so will the latter be little or much. End quote from the Rambam. Back to Moshe Halbertal. A person acting out of fear treats the universe as a resource for the satisfaction of his desires and aspirations. He sees it as a large instrument whose purpose is the satisfaction of his urges. Knowledge frees man from that sort of attitude, teaching him to see existence as it is, independent of his own desires. A person who comes to understand the causality and wisdom implicit in the universe will reach the conclusion that the world is not simply a response to his desires. Rather, it exists on its own in all its glory, and man is only a small part of it. To reach this position of love, one must come to see the other as something standing on its own and possessed of independent value, just as in the case of interpersonal relations. Now, here comes the sentence. Children learn to love their parents rather than simply being dependent on them when they discover that their parents lead independent lives and exist on their own as complete and complex persons. Philosophy and science accordingly play a decisive religious role in the most important change of consciousness a person can undergo in relation to his service of God. Knowledge moves him from seeing God and the world as an instrument to one that no longer aims to achieve practical benefits. Let me read that sentence again. Knowledge moves him from seeing God and the world as an instrument to one that no longer aims to achieve practical benefits. It makes it possible for him to love God and the world, freeing his perspective on reality from its dependence on his own impulses. The human condition is initially that of fear, which reflects an instrumental attitude toward God and the world. By acquiring knowledge, a person can move from that sort of attitude to one of love, which does not seek to attain any purpose other than further knowledge of God. It is followed by awe, the opposite of fear, its more pedestrian variety. The fear that precedes love involves a person seeing himself as the center of the universe, which acts either on his behalf or against him. The awe that follows love is based on a recognition of a person's marginality vis-a-vis God and the universe. He is merely the tiniest part of existence rather than its purpose, and that existence stands before him in all its might and glory. For Maimonides, at the core of human experience of the world is the attempt to free oneself from the grip of instrumentalization of the world, which is so deeply grounded in our fears and hopes. Such instrumentalization is our initial response to the world, given our deep anxieties and hopes and our utter dependency on the world for our basic well-being. Philosophy and science acquire a quality of redemptive spiritual exercise because they serve as the vehicle that ushers the transformation from instrumentality to love. Okay, end quote. That was a beautiful, in my opinion, beautiful description of how the Rambam envisions us progressing from an Ovid Meira, one who serves God out of fear, to an Ovid Me'ahava, one who serves God out of love and reverence. Okay, so basically what he's saying in terms of God is we have a very, he doesn't use the word, but really an animalistic or childish view of the world as the world is that which exists to serve my desires. And we relate to reality based on how it affects us. But the more you study science and how God runs the world, you start to realize that the world exists independently of my desires, and I'm just a small part of this entire glorious system that is run by Chachmas Hashem, by the wisdom of the Creator, and I am dependent on Him. It's not that He exists to serve me, and that's when you make this transition and realize what your true place is. But again, going back to that sentence that stood out to me here, he's saying that there's an analogy in how you relate to your parents. Children learn to love their parents rather than simply being dependent on them when they discover that their parents lead independent lives and exist on their own as complete and complex persons. Okay, so what I'm gonna posit here, and I don't think this is a crazy idea, is that the halachos about kibud av va'em and mora av va'em really are designed to prepare you for this way of relating to God. In other words, the default mode is to relate to your parents as instruments of your own, instruments of utility, basically, is they are the beings who serve me. And that's how a baby relates to his parents. Babies aren't thinking about parents as independent existences, right? Is in a baby's mind or emotions, then the parent's sole existence is to serve me, right? To give me my food, to take care of me, etc. Then as you grow up, you start to realize that that your parents have an existence on their own, but you still relate to them primarily through utility. And then as you mature, you start to realize that they are their own people and that you are your own person, and you both exist within a larger framework of the universe. So when you are following these mitzvos of kibud av va'em and mora av va'em, and you are moderating or controlling your own reactions to them based on God, and you're relating to them in the same way based on the relationship, no matter what they do or don't do to you. So it does train you in this certain mode of recognizing these beings exist outside of the framework of my own utility. So even if they come up to me in public and tear my clothing and spit in my face and throw my wallet into the sea, then I am not going to react any differently towards them. You know, I'm going to be a master of my own reactions and to submit my will to the will of the being who spoke and the world came into existence. And what that does is it trains you to relate to God and his actions in the same way that if God throws causes you to lose money or causes you to be insulted or causes you to suffer some harm, then you don't react to him in a different way based on the change in utility vis-a-vis that relationship. Rather, you relate to him based on his identity as the creator and your identity as a created being. So you know, we're essentially using our relationship with our parents as a foundation or as training wheels for relating to God as a being who everything else is dependent on and who is not existing merely for our own utility. I hope I conveyed that. This is an experiment, by the way, I just had this insight this morning. I probably could have let it develop more and been more articulate, but I wanted to get it down as a podcast episode while the thought was emerging. So pardon me if that was not as clear as it could have been. Okay, that's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RavEshNewayz. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the RavEshNewayz Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are matt-schneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RavEshNewayz@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.